Hey everyone, I'm Ellen Mayer, and you're listening to Illinois. It's a podcast answering your questions about our state government, how it works, how it doesn't work, and how it impacts your life. Today, we're talking about taxes. I know, you just got done thinking about taxes for the year, but bear with me. When you're shuffling through tax forms, it's hard to take a step back and think about, why do my taxes work the way they do, and who decided that? But these are important questions because they impact how much we all have to pay. Our question asker for today has been thinking about these questions, and she's wondering in particular about our state income tax.
My name is Lindsay Welbers, and I live in Logan Square now, but I was born and raised downstate in Bureau County, Illinois. So, lifelong Illinois resident at this point. I was wondering if it's a pipe dream to get a progressive income tax in Illinois.
What makes you think that it might be a pipe dream?
Because you have to amend the Illinois Constitution to do it.
So clearly, Lindsay knows her stuff. But if you're not exactly sure what a progressive tax even is, don't worry, I'm going to break it all down. Right now, all you need to know is that Lindsay thinks it's a good idea.
Well, I've lived my whole life in Illinois, so my entire life I've been informed that the state is broke. And I know that Illinois has, at the constitutional level, a flat income tax. And if you look at all of our neighbors, a lot of our neighbors do not have flat income taxes. They have progressive income taxes. And a lot of those states are also not suffering the same kind of budgetary problems that Illinois has been. So there's plenty of indication that maybe it's a good idea to try and get a progressive income tax in Illinois. But a long time ago, they wrote down in the Constitution that we would never do that. So it just seems like we're not set up for success. That's not easy.
Here's what makes Lindsay's question so great. Back before the primary, you might remember that the Democratic candidates for governor talked a lot about a progressive income tax.
Well, we need to start with a progressive income tax in this state.
We can move to a progressive income tax.
Solving the original sin in Illinois budgeting.
It's a progressive tax.
Look, a progressive income tax.
But there's campaign promises, and then there's political reality. It's important for us to know whether these campaign promises are even possible. So today, we're gonna investigate. Can we actually have a progressive income tax in Illinois? We'll hear from someone who's part of a coalition of people who are currently trying to make it happen. And then we'll get a history lesson from a woman who was in the room at the 1970 convention when delegates wrote a flat income tax into our Constitution. But first, a quick word about terminology. Lindsay and all of those Democratic candidates for governor used the term progressive income tax. But a lot of other people, including the guests I spoke with for this show, prefer to call it a graduated income tax. That's confusing, I know. But it's just two different words for the exact same thing. And from this point forward, we're going to be using the word graduated instead of the word progressive. Okay, now we've got that out of the way. Let's hear from Daniel K. Hertz. You might know Daniel from Twitter. He posts a lot about architecture and urban planning and public transit. But when he's not doing that, Daniel is the research director for the Center for Budget and Tax Accountability, or CBTA. So basically, he knows a lot about taxes. And just to be clear, he's definitely in favor of a progressive income tax. His organization, CBTA, is actually a part of a broader coalition that's trying to amend the state constitution to make it possible. Daniel K. Hertz, welcome to Illinois.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you for being here. So could you tell us what exactly is a graduated income tax rate?
Yeah, so I think it's actually easiest to start out by saying what it's not. So it's not a flat tax, and people may have heard that term. All that means is under a flat tax, every dollar of income that you earn gets taxed at the same rate. Under a graduated income tax, you don't have to have only one rate. You can say, look, you have one rate for your first dollar, right, and a different rate, a higher rate, for your millionth dollar. Those sort of groups are called brackets, right? Your first $20,000 is one bracket, next $20,000 is another one. And this is how the federal income tax system works.
Okay.
So, you know, your first $20,000, maybe you pay
3%. So I'm just going to break in here for a moment because Daniel's explaining something that I did not previously understand. I thought that a graduated income tax simply meant that rich people pay a higher tax than poor people. So maybe a poor person would only pay 2% on all of their income, and a rich person would pay 10% on all of their income. But that's not actually how it works. With a graduated tax, there are different tax rates for different amounts of income, not for different people. If you're anything like me, you prefer to think in small numbers. So just for the sake of this explainer, let's say a rich person makes $12 in a year. Now, let's imagine they live in a state with a graduated tax rate and three different tax brackets. The rich person might pay only 1% tax on the first $4 that they make. And then they'd pay 2% tax on their next $4. And then they'd pay 3% on their final $4. So they're only paying the highest tax rate on one segment of their income. Meanwhile, a poor person who makes only $2 a year would only have to pay 1% on those $2 because they only have enough income to fit into that first tax bracket. Okay, back to Daniel.
Right. So So the bottom line is it's about fairness. So for us, fairness means ability to pay, right?
Mm.
And you know, if you think about somebody who's, you know, working class with some kids, or even middle class, right? Almost all of their money is going to the basics, right? It's paying for housing and food and clothes, and maybe they're able to save a little bit for retirement, right? Somebody who's making $500,000 or $1 million a year, they've got basics covered, right? They've got money to spare for luxuries. And, you know, in our country, that's fine. That's great. But they can afford to pay a greater percentage of that sort of luxury money that, you know, middle class or working class or working poor, they can't afford to pay that much. And so, you know, changing the proportion, the percentage of your income that you pay is part of fairness. It's part of your ability to pay.
Got it. So we have a flat tax rate for income tax in Illinois. And at the federal level, we have a graduated income tax. What about other states? Do most states have a flat tax or do most states have a graduated tax?
Most states have a graduated tax.
Hmm.
So we are in the minority here. So there's 41 states that have an income tax on salaries and wages. And of those 41 states, 33 have a graduated income tax rate.
Okay, so why do you think that we're in the minority of this? We are one of only 8 states that has a flat income tax. Why is that?
Honestly, I have no idea. It's very it's very weird. You know, back in 1970, when they last redid the Illinois Constitution, they put it in the Constitution that we have to have a flat tax. And so, you know, the fact that it's in the Constitution makes it really hard to sort of overturn. But it is it's weird, right? Because, you know, if you pay attention to what especially conservatives talk about in Illinois a lot, you know, they'll say we're uncompetitive. We need to be more like Wisconsin or more like Iowa or more like, you know, Kentucky even. Right. All of those states have graduated income taxes.
But now I want to get to the actual question that Lindsay, our question asker, sent in, which is it a pipe dream to have a progressive income tax in Illinois? So what do you think? Is it a pipe dream?
It is not a pipe dream. You know, we currently have, you know, there's now one of the major gubernatorial candidates is behind it. You know, we do have a lot of support among legislators. And maybe most importantly, right, the polling suggests that the vast majority of people in Illinois support it. It's not a pipe dream. It is hard, but it's not a pipe dream.
So you mentioned a moment ago that we do have the flat tax written into the Illinois Constitution, which means in order to change that and to have a graduated income tax, we would have to amend the Constitution. Is that right?
That is right.
So how does one go about doing that, Daniel?
Well, it's a two-step process. First, we have to pass the amendment out of both the House and the Senate in Springfield. They each need to pass it with a supermajority, so they need 3/5 of the vote rather than just a simple majority. And then it basically it goes on the ballot. It's a referendum. And it needs to be approved by the voters of Illinois. And then it passes.
And then what would that amendment say? Are you trying to go in and have an amendment to the Constitution that says we should have a graduated income tax rate?
No. So the amendment would just say you can have a graduated income tax. It would delete the sentence that says that we must have a flat tax. It's not good tax policy to write your tax rates into the Constitution and make it super, super hard to change. In general, that's you know, that's a recipe for trouble. So no, so it would just delete that sentence basically, and then it would be up to the legislature to then just pass a regular law setting a new graduated tax rate.
Is anybody working on this right now in Springfield to try and make that happen?
Yes. So there's been an ongoing campaign through a coalition called the Responsible Budget Coalition that previously...
Catchy.
Very catchy. All the budget stuff is very catchy. And so, yeah, there's been, you know, sort of conversations with legislators. There's been organizing and all over the state, meetings with legislators, rallies, and all of that stuff.
This is an election year, right? We're going to be voting in November. Is there any chance that lawmakers would get the graduated income tax amendment on the ballot come November?
There's a chance. There's a chance.
Actually, at this point, there's no chance. The rules are that if lawmakers want a constitutional amendment on the ballot for voters, they have to approve it at least 6 months before the election. So technically, the deadline is in early May, but practically, we already missed it. The House votes first, and then the Senate votes. So in order to get everything done by early May, the House actually needed to have scheduled a vote by the end of April. And they didn't do that. The next statewide election isn't for another 2 years. Lawmakers could still approve the amendment tomorrow if they want, but Illinois voters won't be able to ratify that amendment until 2020.
So for the folks who are trying to make this happen, people who are trying to get an amendment on the ballot so that we could maybe have a graduated income tax, what do they actually like need to do strategically in order to get that passed?
You know, so I should say it really seems like the issue is in the House, right? Mm-hmm. So the Senate probably could pass the amendment today.
Interesting.
The House is a little bit more skeptical. And, you know, I think it's important also to note that this has to be bipartisan because you need 71 votes in the House. There are only 67 Democrats. So even if all of the Democrats voted for this, they would still be short 4 votes. And, you know, in all likelihood, not all the Democrats are going to vote for it. So they probably need even more than 4 votes from the Republican side. So this has to be a bipartisan effort. Actually, you know, just recently, the 50 Republicans in the House signed a resolution, 50 of the 51, so all of them but one, signed a resolution opposing a graduated income tax. So that's a challenge. There's sort of wiggle room in the resolution.
All right. So if you're keeping track at home, here are all the hurdles to establishing a graduated income tax in Illinois. First, you have to get a supermajority of votes in the Senate in favor of a constitutional amendment. Then you have to get a supermajority of votes in the House, which means convincing more than 4 Republicans to vote for the amendment. Then you have to get a supermajority of Illinois voters to vote yes. Now remember, the amendment just makes it possible to have a graduated tax. So then the final step is that you have to pass a law through the Senate and the House, which actually establishes a graduated income tax. Not a pipe dream, but not exactly a walk in the park either. So you've already made the argument that you think a graduated income tax is just a more fair taxing system. What are some other reasons that you think that this is a good idea?
So, I mean, the other big argument in Illinois is the fiscal health of the state. We still don't bring in enough money to pay for the services that we give people, right? The schools and the roads and the healthcare and all of that. And right now, one of the only tools that the legislature has is to raise taxes on everybody, right? So that's what they did in the last budget. They increased the income tax on everyone. a graduated income tax would allow us to raise that revenue without putting further burden on working class and middle class families, right?
So let's make this about me for a second.
Sure.
If we establish a graduated income tax in Illinois, does that mean I will get to pay fewer taxes?
Yeah. So in our plan, everybody in the bottom 98% or so gets a tax cut.
Whoa.
Because, you know, people in the middle and working class in Illinois really do face relatively high tax rates compared to other states in the Midwest. And a big reason for that is the flat income tax. And by moving to a graduated tax, we can give the vast, vast, vast majority of people here a tax cut.
Okay, that is actually a great transition because it brings me to something that Lindsay Welbers asked me. She's our question asker, and she is originally from Bureau County, Illinois. And I asked her, what are you hoping to learn from this episode? What are you hoping to get from it? And she actually gave me a pretty meaty follow-up question. So I'm going to play that for you right now.
The last time I checked in on them, I think that the property taxes in Bureau County were higher than that of Orange County in California. And that has, I mean, there's Bureau County is not a wealthy county, so that does genuinely mean a lot to people down there. I guess the one thing that I would like to see is how a progressive income tax, if we were to implement it, would that result in other taxing bodies across the state, like your school board and your county board? Would they, if they are getting more help from the state through that, would that result in your county being able to lower your taxes?
Yeah. So one of the reasons we have such high, we really do have relatively high property taxes in Illinois, is that the income tax doesn't bring in as much revenue as it could. And so the state underfunds public schools, and that means local governments pick up the slack. And the only sort of revenue source that local governments can turn to is property taxes. So if you know, if you want your property taxes not to go up or maybe even go down, the best avenue for that is a graduated income tax.
I want to kind of push you on this, though, because the income tax is collected by the state government and property taxes, for example, are collected by county governments. It's not just magically going to happen, right? It's not like, oh, we have a graduated income tax. Now the state has more money. Automatically, that's going to change how counties operate. So what are the kind of in-between steps that have to happen so that if and when we establish a graduated income tax, counties can start to tax maybe less in terms of property taxes?
You know, to be clear, when we get the amendment in the Constitution, the legislature would have to decide where that revenue went, right? And, you know, our work then would be to direct that to education, would be one of the biggest ones, right? And then at the local level, school districts, local municipalities, seeing that money would have less pressure. It's not that these local governments want to be raising property taxes super high. They would love an out. But if the question is,
so if Lindsay wants a graduated income tax and she also wants a break in property taxes, we've got to add a few more steps to this process. Once you pass the amendment out of the House and Senate, get it on the ballot for voters, get the majority of voters to vote in favor, and pass a new law establishing a graduated income tax, then you also have to pass a new budget in which the state takes some of that new revenue that it's getting from income taxes and directs it to local governing bodies like public school districts. Once local governments start actually getting more revenue from the state, that's when they might be able to cut your property taxes. That's a lot of steps and a lot of work. It might not be a pipe dream, but it will probably require that people like Lindsay join forces with people like Daniel to put political pressure on our lawmakers through every single step of the process. Okay, so we've talked a lot about the arguments for a graduated income tax. What are some of the arguments against?
One of the main ones I hear is that all the rich people will flee the state, which, you know, if you think about where rich people live in the United States, California, New York, California's top income tax rate is over 13%, right?
Remember, which is a lot.
Which is a lot. It's, in fact, the highest in the country. If you remember, ours is 4.95. So we're looking at, like, almost three times higher, right? And as last time I checked, there were, like, lots of rich people in San Francisco and L.A. You know, and beyond that sort of, you know, that's kind of flippant, right, in my in the world of, like, serious policy analysis, there's also been real studies on this, right? And they have shown overwhelmingly that people, for the most part, do not flee states when they institute a graduated tax structure.
So there's an organization called Americans for Prosperity, which is a national organization that tries to promote lower taxes and smaller government. And they have this new campaign called Keep Illinois Flat. And it's not actually about our notorious lack of hills. It's about taxes. And they've put out this advertisement, which lays out another, I think, really common argument against a progressive income tax. And I wanted to play it for you, if that's okay.
Sure.
When politicians in Illinois have an opportunity to raise taxes, they take it. Like when they hiked income taxes 32%. Our property taxes are some of the highest nationwide. Now some lawmakers want to scrap our constitutionally protected flat income tax and replace it with a graduated one. At any time, they could add brackets or increase rates. A blank check signed by you, the taxpayer. How do you think Springfield will use that power? Learn more at keepillinoisflat.com.
So it seems like the major argument here is that if we get rid of a flat tax, it'll just kind of be like the Wild West out here. And lawmakers will be able to jack up taxes arbitrarily whenever they want to. Do you think that there actually is a danger of that?
No. The legislature can already jack up taxes whenever they want to. There's no, like, restriction on them raising taxes. They raised taxes just last year. What a constitutional amendment would do, it would allow them to target those taxes to people who can actually afford to pay them, right? And it could allow them to lower taxes on other people, right? Politicians love cutting taxes, right? The only reason they don't cut taxes all the time is that they would have to cut services. So, no, I mean, that's a... No.
I made Daniel angry. I think I hear what you're saying, but I think this ad kind of speaks to a big fear that people have, right? You know, whether it's fair or not, we have this kind of notoriety in our government that particularly Democrats love to raise taxes. And I think people are genuinely afraid of what that means for them, of whether they'll be able to afford living here. So, I mean, what would you say kind of in like a sentence to someone who's like, I just want to make sure I'm able to afford continuing to live in Illinois?
Yeah, I mean, what I would say is this is the best shot at cutting your taxes significantly.
So now let's take a step back in time to the 1970 Constitutional Convention. That's when the constitutional delegates, in all of their wisdom, decided to mandate a flat tax. I've been kind of curious. What was going through their heads? So I went to talk to Professor Anne Lucene at John Marshall Law School.
So, Professor Lucene, I understand that you are the foremost source about the Illinois Constitution. Is that right?
Probably yes, because I've lived so long and I've really kind of outlived everybody.
And you also wrote the book, isn't that right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, the Illinois Constitution, a reference guide. And I have files that you can see in this office on every section of the Constitution, which is, I've saved every memo from ConCon, every article I can find, every case. So if nothing else, I have voluminous files.
I clearly came to the right place. I came to speak with you today because I know that a flat income tax rate is actually written into our Constitution. And I was wondering, do you happen to have a copy of the Constitution handy?
Yes, I do. And I think it says, shall be at a non-graduated rate. But let's check that out here.
Okay.
It says in Article 9, Section 3, a tax on or measured by income shall be at a non-graduated rate. And that is the only prohibition in that regard.
So now I understand that you were actually present at the Constitutional Convention in 1970. What were you doing there?
I was a research assistant in the general research pool. The Committee on Revenue and Finance was writing the report for the finance article, which is the part about budget and public funds, and they needed somebody to help. So I was seconded over there. And as soon as they finished that, the committee said, would you stay and help us as we do the revenue article? And I think I said something along the line of, you know, I can't balance a checkbook. And they said, well, we don't care about that. We're just asking you to do legal research.
So now, when you say you were the legal researcher for the Committee on Revenue and Finance, that sounds like that committee probably had a lot to do with the clause mandating a non-graduated income tax. So were you, you know, in the room where that happened, so to speak?
Oh, yeah. I sat there off to one side next to the wall, and I learned an awful lot, let me tell you.
Why is it that the delegates in the room decided that we needed to mandate a non-graduated tax rate?
Illinois was late in getting a formal income tax. That had just come into being in 1969, a couple of months before the convention took place. Let me explain. Illinois...
Here's the short version. Until the 1960s, having any kind of income tax at all was considered unconstitutional.
Didn't work under the 1870 Illinois Constitution.
In 1966, so 4 years before the convention, lawmakers tried and failed to pass a constitutional amendment to make an income tax possible with a flat rate.
And it didn't pass. Took two-thirds of...
The Senate and the House were both down. But the amendment failed because they couldn't get a supermajority of Illinois voters to vote in favor. But the state still really needed revenue.
They were trying to figure out, what are we going to do? The people have rejected this. And they created something very interesting.
So lawmakers came up with a workaround. They passed a law establishing a tax on the privilege of having income.
Now, of course, that's just a legal fiction.
But the state Supreme Court said, okay. And again, it's important to note that this new tax on the privilege of having income was a flat tax. Now remember, all this actually happened right before the Constitutional Convention took place.
So that's your background here. Now, was it popular? No. There were groups out in the suburbs which had become very powerful. You know, the suburbs were growing by leaps and bounds. And there were people out there, really precursors of the present-day Tea Party, who said, this is absurd, there should never be an income tax. There were demonstrations. So the convention was kind of stuck. The income tax was in place. It was generally agreed to be necessary. The question was, how do you navigate, as the saying goes, between Scylla and Charybdis? You know, you're really between the devil and the deep blue sea here, whatever you do. And it seemed safer to stick with what was already in place, which was a compromise.
And what was already in place was a flat tax. Now, the thing about writing a new constitution is that once you're done, the Illinois voters get to vote yes or no. So the delegates at the convention were trying to write something that people would say yes to.
And there were voters out there willing to oppose any constitution that did not have serious limits on taxation.
So that's why in 1970, we ended up with a non-graduated income tax rate written into our constitution. But what about now? I asked Professor Lucene if she thinks a graduated income tax is a good idea.
Now, one of the things that I learned in the one tax course that I took in law school was that if you have a very steep graduated income tax, there reaches a point where people who are paying at a higher and higher tax rate will find it advantageous financially to try to figure out a way out of that.
Basically, she thinks that if you establish a graduated income tax, rich people will hire accountants and lawyers and lobbyists and find ways to not actually pay. And anyways, Professor Lucene says she has a better idea.
We can have the effect of a graduated income tax, a so-called progressive rate, we can have the effects of it without ever touching the rates. That's all there is to it.
Instead of making different brackets for different levels of income, she says we can just decide not to tax a certain amount of income in the same way that Illinois decided not to tax pension income. So why not exempt, say, the first $20,000 that somebody makes?
Now, if a person has an income of around $30,000, an exemption of $20,000 means you're paying on only one-third of your income, right? And if you have an income of $50,000, you're paying on only, what, 40% of your income, right? Mm-hmm. Now you go up the scale here to $100,000, $200,000, and so forth.
In this plan, a poor person might end up paying little to no taxes at all.
It would still be a non-graduated rate, but the first $20,000 would mean far more to a poor person than it would to somebody making $500,000 a year.
Okay, so that gives a break to lower and working class folks, but the problem is it doesn't really raise revenue for the state.
Probably not. I have never crunched the numbers. I am not a number cruncher.
But Professor Lucine says there are other options for revenue, like taxes on retirement income and legalized marijuana. In fact, she's got tons of ideas for how to fix our financial woes. But the key to Professor Lucine's vision is that it wouldn't require a constitutional amendment. It just requires passing a law or two. And that is a whole lot easier. I went back to our question asker, Lindsay, and I asked her what she thinks about all of this.
I think a lot of elected officials don't have a really great understanding of what it is like to be a working person in a lot of the parts of Illinois where they don't have a lot of resources, where they're far away from a lot of things, where you may just, there might not be a millionaire in your town. Like, that may just not be a thing. So when you tell me that if we pass a law that will tax people who make more money at a higher rate, that all of those people will move out of the state, well, they are moving out of my town. So I don't much care. I don't find that to be a terribly compelling argument. I mean, where are they going to go? That's the other thing. And the third thing, if the taxes are the reason you're in Illinois, you don't get out of my state. Just get out. It's a nice place. We don't need your attitude.
Thanks to Lindsay for submitting this great question to the podcast. Don't forget, this show relies on your curiosity to work. So please keep sending me your questions about the government and how it works. You can send them to illinoispodcast.com. That's Illinois, spelled with an E. I know that earlier in this episode, Daniel referenced a number of polls and studies and reports to prove his point. If you're curious to learn more about those, you can find them all in the show notes for this podcast. Illinois is produced by me, with help from a lot of amazing people. Jacob Chaparro has blessed the show with original theme music. Kayla Ginsberg made our logo. Daniel Kisslinger supports the show in big and little ways, and he has an excellent podcast called Ergo, which showcases Chicago's most dynamic artists and thinkers and activists. You should really give it a listen. I'm Ellen Mayer, and I'll see you next time on Illinois.